Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. Today's date is the 7th day of July 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and it's great to be back with you. I've been off for 10 days, and 10 days of needed rest. As you all know, things have been developing all around the world, especially in the Middle East. I'm going to be talking to a guest in a minute, and I'm going to be asking him about his take on just how horrible things are for these poor Palestinians. Many people in the American community don't know that many of the Palestinians are Christians. I think about 20% of Palestine are Christian, and they've been suffering terrible over there. They're murdering their civilians. And some other subjects about the Internet today. We've got some other things we'd like to talk about. But first of all, IamTheWitness.com is the website, and IamTheWitness@Hotmail.com is the contact information. You may have trouble getting through to me. I've been getting a lot of spamming lately on my website, a lot of things coming through, so I have put a severe filter on my incoming emails, and you may have trouble getting through. So just be aware of that when you send me an email if I don't get back to you right away. Anyway, my guest today is Reverend Ted Pike. He's been with me many times. He is a wonderful person to have on the radio because he's spent a lot of time studying a lot of subjects around the things that we investigate. And he's always honest. And this is the remarkable thing about Reverend Pike is that whatever comes out of his mouth is sincere. And that this is what I enjoy about doing an interview with Ted, because he does his homework and he's an honest man. And we put together some good stuff here. So, Ted, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me this morning, Daryl.
Well, it's wonderful to have you, as always. And I did want to talk about Palestine for a couple of minutes here, because everybody in America has the Jewish Zionist-controlled press selling them that these are evil people, they are criminal people, they don't deserve our sympathies or our empathy, and what I'm witnessing over there is a genocide. It has been genocide since the late 1940s, where they marched these people out of their country. They killed them wholesale. Now they're shutting off electric. They're blowing up hospitals. They're destroying power stations. They're trying to kill them off, Ted. And I can't imagine that the rest of the world would be standing by saying nothing about it.
Yes, I can't either, but on the other hand, it's just the continuation of policies which have gone on for at least a half century, certainly even before that. I have a video by the title of Why the Mideast Bleeds, and I detail in there how that the Israeli government, clear back in the 30s, in fact, almost with the beginning of the Zionist population of Palestine, we find a real discrimination against Arabs in agriculture, in commerce, in any kind of cultural advancement of the Palestinian people. And this has gone on behind the scenes literally for at least three quarters of a century. And Israel is increasingly arrogant. They're building their wall of separation and actually planning on separating the Arab world from Jerusalem so that they can set up their millennial temple, rebuild the Temple of Solomon and Herod there. And this certainly is apartheid at its very worst. I just don't see how the world can contain itself much longer. This kind of abuse has got to reach its breaking point, and tragically, the evangelical Christians are not speaking out.
No, and in fact, they're part of the problem, Ted. Sad to say, because if you're sitting by while other people suffer, especially in light of the fact that many of them are Christians. Not that it would matter whether they are or not. Suffering is suffering, and children and people are dying wholesale in this environment. But the worst part about it is the oppression and the terrible victimization that has gone on in this society, and it's at the hands of monsters. These people, these Jewish Zionists are monsters, and there is no other way to describe them, in my view. And I don't believe the state of Israel has any right to exist because they took that land from these people who had been there for thousands of years, Ted. And the simple fact of the matter is that they are usurpers and they are criminals, all of them. And I have to say that from the bottom of my heart, because I've looked at this situation from every way I can, and what they did from 1948 forward, and even before that, as you mentioned, was to criminally usurp the rights of a native population and then subjugate these people to the point of almost extinction. And the idea of this is awful.
Yes, yes it is. You and your listeners are familiar with Rabbi Wiese and the Neturei Karta movement, and they basically are Orthodox Jews who believe that, agree with you, that the Zionist experiment is illegitimate. They believe that the Torah teaches that when the Messiah comes, it will be in response to repentance and obedience and justice and mercy on the part of a renewed Jewish people who will turn back to the God of their fathers, and only on those conditions will the Messiah and God Almighty allow them to come back into a land which is a holy land, a land dedicated to righteousness and justice and mercy. And I agree with that. I certainly don't agree with him theologically concerning the deity of Christ and issues like that, but I do agree with the Neturei Karta movement that the modern Zionist invasion of Palestine lacks biblical endorsement. In fact, in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, Jehovah is very, very specific again and again that if the Jewish people do not obey God and do not exercise justice, righteousness, and mercy, even to the strangers in the land, which means the Gentiles or the equivalent of the Palestinians, that God will throw them out of the land, and they cannot return until they give him that kind of obedience. And what we've seen during the 20th century, of course, is a massive alignment ideologically, theologically, militarily, and morally of the evangelicals with these Zionist usurpers. We are basically holding the coat of these Zionist bullies as they are beating and stoning and flogging these innocent Palestinians, essentially innocent Palestinians. I say that because they have been driven to a frenzy as a result of Zionist abuses. And I might just mention that historically, if we go back before the Zionist invasion of Palestine, even in the First World War, we find Lawrence of Arabia, we find the British, we find the French working harmoniously with the Arab world, and the Arab world greatly admiring the French and the British and the Americans and so on. But with this infusion of Eastern European Khazar Ashkenazim Jews, so-called Jews, they're actually largely Khazar or Gentile in origin, we find an exacerbation of this antagonism between Jew and Arab, which has continued only to the present.
Well, that's an important point to make, because my research shows that the Palestinians are more Semitic than the people who are persecuting them, and the idea of us telling this truth right now in the eyes of Zionists would be anti-Semitic. But the fact of the matter is, that's just a big false flag, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. You see, the Ishmaelites are sons. The Ishmaelites are Arab world. And that's about 250 million people are the descendants of Abraham and Hagar, who was an Egyptian. So the Palestinians are basically half Semitic. Well, it's a rare Jew today who could claim that he is a descendant of Abraham. There are the Sephardic Jews, a Sephardic Oriental, who can make that claim with a reasonable degree of accuracy, I believe. But the vast majority of so-called Jews today are descendants of the Gentile Khazars,
mm-hmm.
which is a Central European nation which was converted to Judaism in about the middle of the 9th century A.D., and soon convinced themselves that they were descendants of Abraham. And there has been some intermixture over the years between true Jewry and these Khazars from the East, but by and large, this infusion of these left-wing, communist, Bolshevik Jews who came down in the 30s and 40s and 50s from Russia and so on, that's a counterfeit return. These are counterfeit Jews, a counterfeit return. The whole thing is based on a fraud, really.
Well, see, that illegitimacy is important because when it's a factual statement. And so if you are a Christian Zionist and a fundamentalist, and you're listening to this right now, what I'm urging you to do is check our facts, because once you understand that you're lending your support to a false group, a group that has stolen history for itself, and that fact should alone have you moving away from their actions rather than moving toward them, because they are in no way representative of Scripture in my view.
Well, that's so true, and I would remind evangelicals who might be listening to also read your Bible. You know, you might be tempted already in this broadcast to say, well, Ted Pike and Daryl Smith, they're criticizing God's chosen people. They must be anti-Semitic. Well, you go to the book of Jeremiah, you go to the book of Ezekiel, you read about John the Baptist and even our Lord Jesus Christ, and you will quickly find that those great figures of the Hebrew religion and of Christianity were very outspoken, very specific in their denunciation of these very evil Jewish leaders which we're talking about today. We're talking about Shamir, we're talking about Begin, we're talking about Sharon, who are bullies and virtual gangsters of the worst sort.
And Olmert right now, this the one that's come in after him, actually, he was a prosecuted embezzler, and stole all kinds of money from tax dollars that the Americans sent over there that was being spread around rather liberally in Israel, and he was embroiled in several criminal activities. A very close friend of Mark Rich, another criminal, who is also part of the Mossad's university over there in Herzliya. In other words, the people in charge of this country are basically criminals. And what they've got over there, if they set up a safe zone for their criminal enterprises. And those enterprises include white slavery, child pornography, pornography in general, the manufacture of ecstasy, drug peddling around the world. You don't need to go very far in South America to find a Jewish captain of cocaine production, both in Uruguay, Paraguay, and Argentina. And much of the booty that was stolen by the Nazis ended up in Zionist Jewish hands in South America. These are not my musings. These are facts, as history will purport. And when you take a look at these facts, Ted, you wonder how a righteous person or someone who claims to be righteous could be so duped. And this is the thing that infuriates me about the Christian evangelicals, that they have followed an illness this far down the road.
Yes. Well, they haven't followed the Bible, because the New Testament in the book of Revelation describes Jerusalem, that is modern Jerusalem, not as the city of the great king, the Prince of Peace. It describes it as Sodom in Egypt. Now, Sodom was a stronghold of homosexuality and was incinerated by fire and brimstone from God. Egypt was also a center of bondage and sorcery and magic and astrology and so on. And yet the New Testament, as Christ speaks to the church during Revelation, he describes Jerusalem during the church age as Sodom and Egypt. Now, evangelicals take those kinds of verses and they sweep them under the rug and they don't mention them. But the fact is that, in my opinion, the case is very, very strong that that modern Israel is a continuation of the ancient archetypal harlot of the Old Testament, which is denounced by all the prophets, which has emerged in modern times in control of the media, in control of governments, in control of international policy and even war-making in the Middle East. It's Babylon the Great. Read about it, Christians, in the 17th and 18th chapters of Revelation. You'll read about this huge media giant, military, commercial world empire, which is dominating the media and dominating the nations.
It gets even worse, Ted, because what they've done now is with their great wealth and resources, they've purchased themselves nuclear technology to have bombs. They've purchased themselves attack submarines that can launch nuclear devices on the rest of the world. They've surpassed even France as a holder of more nuclear bombs and weapons than any other country after America and Russia and China.
Yes.
So they are the fourth largest nuclear power on Earth and growing. And they've got more fighter jets in the Middle East than all other countries combined. And this is a country that we've helped.
Yes.
Our tax dollars have helped arm.
Yes.
And all of the slaughter and hatred that is being spread in their name is being foisted on this region by America.
Yes.
And this is the sickness that bothers me so. It makes me to feel ashamed that this is the kinds of things that we would be proponents of in the world. We're hated, Ted. You know, Americans are a hated group today everywhere in the planet. And it's getting to the point now, and I live in a foreign land, so I understand this viscerally, that it used to be the American government that they were angry with and they hated. They're starting to hate Americans.
Yes.
And the reason they are is because they say it's too obvious to everyone that what's going on, and the fact that you're not doing something to stop it makes you culpable.
Yes. Well, you know, not only Americans, but tragically they're hating Christians as well, because Christians are viewed as being in lockstep with the Zionists, backing them, endorsing them, blessing them, bidding them Godspeed as they are oppressing their countrymen, the Palestinians. And this is a tragedy because the mandate of the Christian gospel is to preach the nation, preach the gospel to the nations without any respect to persons. And the fact is that the Arab world is largely locked off and sealed away from the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the tremendous antipathy against Christians for having supported Israel so unconditionally.
Yeah. Well, here's the interesting thing. The things we're discussing right now, this is an issue of free speech. We are discussing historic events. We're discussing our interpretation of them. But the fact of the matter is the way we're talking about them, using the technologies of the day, are under threat. And this is another subject that we had planned to discuss today, Ted.
Yes.
The Internet that has been so instrumental on for us getting this information out to the rest of the world is in the process now of being attacked through legislation. And that legislation that they're hoping to pass on behalf of control is going to stop us from making these kinds of statements about fact. And could you elaborate a little bit about some of the things going on within the Senate and Congress recently?
Yes. Well, there's a concerted effort by the huge phone and cable companies now to do more than just transfer messages and information across the Internet through the phone lines. What these big cable and phone companies want to do is actually commercialize the Internet so they can give preferential treatment and speed and accessibility to those who pay the most money into the Internet. And the wave of the future, of course, is the broadband cable means of transferring video and audio and as well as Internet and all of this, of course, emails through one broadband pipe, as they refer to it. And they're basically arguing that they're putting so many millions and billions of dollars into developing this technology that they now have a right to kind of be the toll gate keepers of this bridge across the nation's communications bridge and charge those who use it. And what this basically threatens is that the big companies and the preferred ideological groups who are in favor with these media giants will have the fastest communications privileges and so on, and the rest of us, especially those of us who are on alternative talk radio and on the far right and so on, will be discriminated against and kind of pushed back into kind of the slow lane, the slow road, compared to what those who are preferred will get. Now, these companies are sinking literally millions of dollars now as we speak into lobbying in Congress, a full-scale lobbying effort to persuade the House and the Senate to ratify new legislation, the New Communications Act, which will allow these companies to use the Internet for their commercial enrichment. And, in fact, a bill has just passed the House of Representatives, I understand, which does not prohibit, which goes along with this. It hasn't come to the point where it's actually endorsing commercialization, but it does not prohibit it. It does not proclaim the Internet to be a neutral zone. Now, I understand it's in the House of it's in the hands of the Senate, and the Senate will be deliberating this issue, the pros and cons of it, for the next few months or even as long as a year. But this is a crisis situation. I should mention also that there is a website called SaveTheInternet.com where our listeners can go and get a lot of information. But
well, they can actually go to your site too, TruthTellers.org, and get a link to this information as well, can't they?
Yeah, pretty soon. I am writing a definitive email, a special report, which will be coming out the first of next week at Truth Tellers. That's www.truthtellers.org. I'm researching this extensively, and we'll come out with that two-part report probably next Monday night. But until then, it is certainly not too early to call your members of Congress, just the Senate now, because the bill has passed the House of Representatives, and protest. Say, please vote for any legislation which establishes net neutrality. Vote against any legislation which would commercialize the Internet.
Well, you know, I've taken a look at where we are on this, you know, in this cycle here. And, of course, you know as well as I do that things are developing in a very negative way. And I see crises taking the headlines in almost every part of our planet, and more often than not, they're being the flames of this mess are being fanned by the American government, a government that I believe was put into office by fraud. Of course, you've looked into voter fraud in Ohio and Florida, and so basically we have a dictatorship in the United States that's sending the world down a very dangerous path, Ted, to tyranny, to a lack of free values, free speech, free exchange of ideas. We're in some of the darkest days of human history, as far as I can see.
Well, that's right. And more Congress is up for sale. Whoever has the most political clout and backroom ability to bribe or blackmail or coerce and so on are the people who are going to get the legislation passed. However, there is, according to this website, Save the Internet, there is a very rapidly snowballing movement of people who want a free Internet, and includes a lot of liberals, includes the left as well as the right, includes Bill Gates, includes Yahoo and Google and so on, who are loudly protesting and trying to educate the American public. Now, one of the things we have to remember is that the Anti-Defamation League of Vinay Barif has a vested interest in ending free speech, or what they call cyber hate, on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
The ADL is right now establishing a huge so-called anti-hate bureaucracy in Europe. It's called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. And they have a division of that, It's I-N-A-C-H. It means against International Organization Against Cyber Hate or something like that. And I-N-A-C-H is now exhausting all avenues attempting to bring an end to free speech on the Internet. They are recommending that those who receive satellite communications from other nations, not only the satellite providers, but those who broadcast such information, which may be critical of Israel or homosexuality or whatever, should be penalized and indicted. They are also working very hard to pass hate laws throughout the world. Now, so-called anti-hate laws are probably the most direct way that the Internet can be dismantled, free speech in the Internet within a country, because they just pass a law making it a hate crime to criticize a certain federally protected groups using your website. And there are cases in progress right now, a number of cases against people who have put on their websites material critical of homosexuality or Jews or whatever, Zionism, who are now under indictment in Canada. And there are a number of cases. In fact, there have been a number of cases prosecuted in the last 26 years under Section 13A of the Canadian Human Rights Act, which is the ADL-sponsored hate law for Canada. And this is the very quickest way. This is the way the ADL would love to end cyber hate, if you will, throughout the world. But I should also mention that these huge media giants now who are attempting to commercialize the Internet and therefore remove cyber hate, if you will, off of the Internet, several of the very largest are Jewish-controlled. Verizon Wireless is the largest American wireless company, and Ivan Seidenberg is the CEO. He is also on the board of Viacom. That's Sumner Redstone, media giant, the biggest.
I think his name is Maury Rothstein.
Yes, it is. Anyway, Seidenberg gives himself away as being basically a Jewish activist by the fact that he's on the board of CBS. And Viacom is now producing, I understand, a gay TV network, pro-homosexual TV network. Not just a program, but a TV network as part of their vast cable.
They've already got that here in Europe.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And we remember
called how... Pink TV, Ted.
Is that right? Well, that's coming out of Viacom, and Ivan Seidenberg is on the board of Viacom. I should just remind our listeners of how CBS, under Redstone, produced the Mystery of Christmas feature for an hour last December, in which they were actively proposing the possibility that Jesus Christ was a bastard. And that was the Mystery of Christmas. Is Christ a bastard or not? Well, all this is coming down from Verizon Wireless and Ivan Seidenberg. And Seidenberg is basically a drinking buddy with all of these evil people, the Warner Brothers people, Sumner Redstone.
Maury Rothstein, yeah.
Yeah, Maury Rothstein, Edgar Bronfman Jr.
Bronfman, yeah. That's Canada's not a country anymore. It's called Bronfmanville.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
He socializes with these people. It's on the Internet, and we should be aware that Edgar Bronfman is responsible for it. He's the number one producer through his Interscope Records of this gangster rap in the world today.
Yep.
Women are trashed and called bitches, and black youths, white youths are loudly encouraged to rape them. I was just down at our beautiful river, the Clackamas River here in Portland, a few weeks ago, and here was just a horde of young people, and they had a big boom box going on the river, and they were playing this gangster rap. I could not believe how violent that gangster rap is, advocating killing of policemen, advocating killing white people, advocating raping women as bitches and so on. It was booming out over this beautiful Oregon countryside, and there's just dozens and dozens of kids there just were taking it for granted. Well, that's coming down from Verizon Wireless, Edgar Bronfman. All these people are behind this kind of thing. Now,
yep.
I'll just mention another huge media giant who is also, along with Seidenberg, working to commercialize the Internet and take it over for their own evil purposes, Comcast Cable. is under the control of the Roberts family. Ralph Roberts founded Comcast back in the early 1980s, and his son, Brian Roberts, is now the CEO. And both of them have received awards from the ADL. Ralph Roberts received a some kind of a Freedom Award, Tolerance Award from the ADL, and you know. And of course, the ADL doesn't give these tolerance awards except according to its own twisted definition of what tolerance is.
Well, I can't get one of those awards there, Ted.
I think you might be on the ADL's hit list, but you're certainly not on their tolerance list.
I wear that. I wear that. That if I'm on a hit list by the ADL, that's I'm proud of that.
Yeah, tolerance according to the ADL means favoring homosexuality. It means favoring homosexuality in the workplace and being involved in their sensitivity training seminars and so on the corporate level and so on. And the ADL loves Ralph Roberts because he's participated in all of these ADL sensitivity, you know, respect for diversity type of programs at Comcast. He's also received the same kind of awards from the Wiesenthal Center, Tolerance Awards, and so on, promoting Holocaust remembrance, all that kind of thing.
Well, interesting to note, though, Ted, the people behind the organization of the German war machine in the 30s, the financiers, and the architects in many ways, were part of the Zionist group.
Absolutely.
So they actually, and then they turned around and said that those awful Germans, here's the funniest thing, Ted, the Germans just turned around and sold nuclear submarines to the Israelis and made the German people pay for 30% of the whole project. This is a country that has been completely subjugated by Zionism, taken over, shamed in the world as a result of Zionist-controlled media and lies. And the situation now is that they're demanding more from this German people.
Yeah.
It shocks me that this people has been so beaten down that they won't stand up against this stuff. They have been completely I don't know what's happened to them. They are a shell of the people they once were. They have no pride left in themselves, and this is a sickening fact. Because they've done this, they're doing this to America as well right now.
Yeah.
They're turning us into these metrosexual males that have, they go around and have cosmetic surgery and they watch pornography and homosexual is to be lauded, not to be avoided. And I'm a person who believes that there are some homosexuals in our society that were born that way. This is my belief, but. What they've been promoting is gays have a right to go out into the middle of the street and wear motorcycle leathers and stand on parade floats and promote sickness in the streets. And this is the kind of thing that they're doing in the streets of America, and as though that this is a laudable lifestyle rather than something that should be avoided.
Yes. Well, you know, thousands of years ago, Jesus described the Pharisees as hypocrites and whited sepulchres who seem beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of all kinds of ravening and wickedness and abominations. In fact, the matter is that the Babylonian Talmud, which is the written record of the oral tradition which Jesus so powerfully denounced, saying that the oral tradition had turned God's law upside down, this Babylonian Talmud contains the most frank and explicit endorsements of homosexuality. And I have a book called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. It's available at truthtellers.org.
And I've read that book, Ted.
I give the Xerox copies right out of the Talmud in which rabbis are encouraged to rape little nine-year-old boys because a nine-year-old boy is not sexually mature, and it's basically morally neutral according to the Talmud, and that act does not throw a guilt upon the rabbi who does that. Well, you see, that's the foundation here of these evil Jewish leadership of ADL B'nai B'rith, which we see now is making such a strong alliance with homosexuality and using homosexuals to encourage and promote the hate crimes agenda throughout the world. using homosexuality to batter down Christian values, the sanctity of the Christian man, woman, family, and so on. This all comes out of this evil brew which Jesus denounced so astutely 2,000 years ago. But another factor of this hypocrisy is that these evil Jewish leaders of Comcast and Verizon and so on, they get together with each other, Vivendi and Bronfman and Redstone, and they give themselves awards. They give themselves most tolerant awards or all kinds of humanitarian awards as they congratulate each other for their humanity and their love of mankind and all this kind of thing. The truth of the matter is these people like Bronfman and Seidenberg and Warner Brothers and all of those are subverting our young people, and they are MTV comes right out of these evil Jewish leaders of Viacom and so on, who are bringing the vilest music, the most violent lyrics and rap music and so on to millions and millions of youth, not only in America but all throughout Europe, just dehumanizing, making animals, vicious and even murderous animals out of these young people.
You know that the biggest rap group in France, and excuse me when I say this, it's called Nick Ta Mère, and that's the F Your Mother is the name of the rap group, and they're the most popular rap group in France.
Oh my, yeah.
And all of the singers of this group have gold covered teeth, and they're called Nick Ta Mère, and it is the most vile and disgusting group of humans. It even surpasses the revoltingness of the American rap scene.
Oh, my. Well, this is the question I ask to our audience today. Do you feel like Verizon Wireless under Ivan Seidenberg or Comcast Cable, they're both the biggest in their field here in the United States? Comcast is twice the size, I understand, of AOL Time Warner. Do you think that these people are fit custodians, trustworthy custodians of the internet now? Well, that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to become the gatekeepers. They're trying to become the moral guides and the censors of the internet of the future. They're pouring millions of dollars into Congress right now. And I would encourage our listeners to make a call to at least your senators from your state and protest this. Send them this simple message. Let me just give you the toll-free number to Congress. This is a crisis. We've got to hold these people back. The toll-free number to Congress is 1-888-355-3588. Again, that number to the Senate is 888-355-3588. And just give them this simple message. Please don't allow the internet to be commercialized. Please keep the internet neutral. It's as simple as that. There's a lot of controversy going on back there. They'll know what you mean when you say, please don't allow the internet to be commercialized. Please keep the internet neutral. And also at my website, which is truthtellers.org, I do have up the 100 members of the U.S. Senate. Now, we have been very effective in holding back the ADL's hate bill by encouraging people to take a couple hours and just go down the line. Call this number. You'll get the Capitol operator. Have her send you to the first senator, which you will find at Truth Tellers on the homepage, first of 100 senators. Call that office, have her send you to that office, and then give that simple message. But before you hang up, don't hang up, but say, please send me to the next senator on the list. And you can go, you can leapfrog all the way down. In a couple of hours, you can make a real contribution to letting our members of the U.S. Senate know that we will not stand for the internet being pirated by these evil Jewish media leaders.
Well, you know, Ted, where are we going with this mess that we're fighting here? You know, I got to be honest with you. This is a wearing deal that I signed up for. And I got to tell you something. I don't see America as a group waking up to this. There are a lot of intelligent people that have come on board to the facts, but by and large, America has become something of a flabby nation, a country that is allowing these sicknesses to be circulated in society without any resistance. And I'm wondering, how much longer can the American public, the American society, sustain these kinds of problems? I don't see. It just seems to be a steady descent downward, and I'm wondering, how can we turn this thing around, Ted?
Well, I think we have to take action when we are in a position of advantage, and as I was telling you earlier, there is a rapidly snowballing movement of opposition to the takeover of the Internet. And at this website, SaveTheInternet.com, they have lots of articles, and I understand there are about 700 organizations, including the ACLU, including Senator John Kerry and other people, liberals, who are opposing this. What I'm doing is I'm sending out an e-alert, and I'm reminding these people, maybe not reminding them, but informing them that there are two prongs in this attack on the Internet. One is the hate laws. The hate laws in Canada are the fastest way to end free speech on the Internet, and then there is this power grab by the cable companies. Well, here's an issue again in which I believe that we're in a position of advantage. There's anger about this, and there's curiosity about this, and my email will go out next week to tens of thousands of people and get out to many of these organizations, letting them know that it's not just the big phone and cable companies, but it's also the ADL and their hate crimes bureaucracy in Europe and Canada and throughout the world, who is also a threat to the Internet. So when these things, you know these evil Jews are so iniquitous and so hypocritical that they cannot help but continue to bring new hot issues down the conveyor belt to us. What we have to do there is be determined to fight these things, to speak out, to call in to talk radio, to become specific concerning the racial and spiritual identity of the people behind us. Speak out, raise a ruckus, call the talk show hosts. Don't let them get away anymore with all this bland stuff about this is coming from the New World Order or liberals or secular humanists. Let's start using the term evil Jewish leaders of ADL, B'nai B'rith.
Well, my group that you're speaking with now uses Zionists.
Yeah.
And that's we've nailed the people who are doing it.
Okay.
They are Zionists. And I make the distinction that not all Jews are Zionists, and we know that as a fact.
Sure.
Because many of the people fighting this fight are coming from the Jewish community. And how do I judge whether they're actually crypto-Zionists or not? I look at the work they're doing, and I look at the truth they're telling, and see, the proof is in the pudding, as you well know. If you're fighting the good fight, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, it shows.
Yes, it certainly does. And I am glad for the support of all Jews of good intention, like Rabbi Lapin in Seattle, who are publicly speaking out against the ADL and against the hate crimes and all of that. All we have to do is get specific, because these Zionists or crypto Jews or evil Jewish leaders, whatever terminology you prefer, they specialize in hiding behind the scenes, in the halls of Congress, the back rooms. They make their deals, they promote their legislation behind the scenes. And as long as nobody identifies them publicly, then they can flourish. But as soon as the spotlight is shown upon them, then like rats in a garbage dump, they dive for cover. And we're seeing this again and again. You know, it's kind of interesting, Daryl. I have made a tremendous fuss about Sony Corporation throughout this fall and winter, how that they helped create the Book of Daniel, the travesty, how they were behind the Da Vinci Code, and so on. And just recently, Sony Corporation has announced that it's going to be making a pro-Christian film with Tim LaHaye. Now, they would never have done that in a million years unless they were trying to whitewash themselves and get away from the bad.
Who's Tim LaHaye?
Tim LaHaye is the Christian evangelical pro-Zionist prophecy expert, so-called expert, who does these left-behind rapture videos and books, which have sold tens of millions of copies.
So this is the knucklehead who uses the Scofield Bible to teach his block.
Exactly. Anyway, they've gone and they've gotten Tim LaHaye, and they're going to make a Christian documentary about the life of Paul or something like that, quite innocuous it seems. Anyway, as I'm saying, they would never have done that unless they were trying to cover themselves, whitewash themselves, and get away from the bad stigma which Sony Corporation has acquired over the last 6 months. Now, there's an example of how if we speak out and if we get specific, then we can cause them to pull back. We saw this with the Last Temptation of Christ back in the 80s. And, you know these groups, they will make concessions like this. Back in the 80s, in fact, the ACLU went out and supported the Nazis in their right to march in Skokie, Illinois. Well, they would never have done that unless they wanted to counter the popular image that they were only in support of left-wing causes.
Well, but see, you know, the Nazi movement was created by the Jews to have a bad guy to fight against.
You bet. But anyway, I want to...
There are no neo-Nazis, you know. And the only members of the neo-Nazi movement that aren't dupes, that aren't part of this Southern Poverty Law and Morris D's group, are imbecile young whites who've been buffaloed into supporting these knuckleheads.
Yeah.
And you know, this white supremacist nonsense and all the rest of it.
Sure.
The fact is that those groups are shill organizations constructed,
yes,
by these evil Jewish leaders to have an enemy to point to as they pass or try to pass these legislations.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what I'm saying here in conclusion is that we have seen again and again that the ADL has been slowed way down in reintroducing their hate bill in Congress, of promoting that and so on. Even now, they're kind of wallowing around, I believe, this summer, not knowing quite what to do. Maybe I'm wrong, but we have seen that public specific identification of these people as evil Jews, Zionist Jews, whatever, does have an effect. And the fact of the matter is, Daryl, that here's 2.5% of the American population trying basically to take over things here in America, but that's a tall order. It's a hard thing to bring down a huge civilization, and we still have a lot going for us. We are like a ship which is embedded with shipworms. We're being eroded drastically, but there's still the opportunity, I believe, with God's help, if we speak out and stand on our own personal wall like the prophets in the Old Testament, declaring who is the enemy and that the enemy is coming, that I believe God Almighty can give us time and can give us a period of deliverance.
Well, I want to thank you, Ted, for doing this this little stint with me today. You know, I haven't been on the radio for a while. I've had some health issues as well as some need to take a step back from all this battling. I've had a year and a half of straight fighting going on,
yeah,
and it's a tough slog, and you know, financially, this is wearing on us. It's just a difficult thing to put together for myself and Eric and other people that are involved, you know. But the alternative not to fight is, geez, you know, there's such a big part of me that just wants to just stop, because it's
yes,
a terrible way to live a life that we are dealing with such monsters. These people are monsters, Ted. You know, I can't remember a time in my life where before I got involved in this, that I had ever known a human group that were so sick.
Yes.
And I'm talking ill to a point where I can't even comprehend their sickness.
Yeah.
And I never knew that this kind of human being existed in our world. I had suspicions. Now that I know, it is the most disturbing of things to know that I share this planet with such monstrous humans.
Yes.
And I wonder sometime how long it's going to be before my fellow Europeans and Americans and world fellows find out that this 1% of the world population, even less than, are monsters in the extreme who have absolutely no regard for their safety, security, future, families, anything. All they care about is subjugation, murder, mayhem, and destruction.
Yes.
And the fact is, I hope that this message is going to start really exploding. You know, this is a new day for us, a new moment for us to start again, because they're not stopping, Ted, are they?
No, they aren't. And of course, what we're talking about here, folks, is not the Jewish people at large, the flock of Israel. We're talking about the same evil Jewish leaders whom Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ went after so vehemently. We're talking about people who constitute what the B'nai B'rith refers to as organized world Jewry. There's about 500,000 Jews involved in ADL B'nai B'rith worldwide, and that's only a minority out of about 14 million Jews in the world today. Many, many Jews disagree and oppose ADL B'nai B'rith, but what they're finding is that they are referred to as self-hating Jews. They are themselves persecuted if they go against their brethren in high places.
But do you see that there are more people within the Jewish community speaking out?
Well, all I know is I get a lot of emails from Jews, and the vast majority of them are complimentary toward me. They are thankful for what I'm doing. In fact, they're telling me that I'm doing something that they can't do themselves, because as members of the Jewish community, if they are discovered to be actively opposing these huge umbrella organizations like ADL B'nai B'rith, there are many people in the Jewish community who are supportive of this liberal left-wing Judaism and ostracize them and make it hard on them. So they appreciate how outspoken I am. They also appreciate my moderation, that I'm coming from a biblically balanced point of view. They may disagree with me about Jesus Christ, but they recognize that I'm really benevolent in my intentions toward the Jews. I'm trying to save them from persecution and being tarred as anti-Christian, because what the ADL does, of course, is it takes away free speech in countries. It incites anti-Semitism by its abuses and so on, and then the Jewish people get tarred as, you know, the Jews are doing this. Collectively, the Jewish people bear the brunt of the deviltry of ADL B'nai B'rith.
Well, let me remind everybody what Theodor Herzl said, the founder of Zionism, in 1897. He said, "It is essential that the suffering of Jews become worse.
Yes.
This will assist in the realization of our plans. I have an excellent idea. I shall induce anti-Semitism to liquidate Jewish wealth.
Yes.
The anti-Semites will assist us in thereby, and they will strengthen the persecution and oppression of Jews.
Yes.
The anti-Semites shall be our best friends."
Yes.
And that is from Theodor Herzl's diary. This is the founder of modern Zionism.
You know, a number of years ago, before I wrote my book, I visited a synagogue or two in order to get a sense of Judaism. I went to a conservative synagogue here in Portland. I sat there in the congregation as they were going through the rituals and so on, and there was this attractive, pleasant young Jew there in his mid-30s probably, and I started to talk to him, and he was so relieved when I started talking to him, because he had never encountered anybody, even in his own synagogue, who knew more about the Jews, the Talmud, and so on, than I did. In fact, he says, "At last, an intelligent person." And he said that most Jews here in the United States are so soft and so assimilated that they do not have any understanding of the Talmud. They've never read the Talmud, and so on. And the situation, as he described it, was that in New York, but especially Israel, he saw that Judaism was really vigorous, really on the front lines against Arab anti-Semitism and attempts to destroy Israel and vilify the Jewish people and so on. He idealized what was happening among the Orthodox in New York, the Hasidic, and especially Israel. And what we have here is this militant, organized, so-called organized Jewry is coming largely from Israel, New York, but it is not really...
And London.
Yeah, not really shared by the average shopkeeper Jew, your suburban soccer mom Jew, and so on.
Well, that's right. But, you know, we've got the Lubavitchers in the forefront of this movement for them.
Yes. And
the Shabbat Lubavitch, these are the most virulent of all the Orthodox.
Yes, and they are Kabbalists. They're followers of the Kabbalah. They're followers of Shabbatai Zevi back in the 1666, who proclaimed himself a Messiah, but was forced to recant, and then kind of went underground in the Lubavitcher movement, attempting to use literally any means possible to achieve Jewish success in world domination. And this has resulted in terrible, this Lubavitcher strain, which I believe still inhabits the government of Israel results in a breed of Jew which is so evil, so opportunistic, that they will sell out their own people as they did to the Third Reich. They will irradiate Yemeni Jewish children in order to receive money from the American government for radiation testing. They'll do just about anything. And, of course, with that kind of absolute Machiavellian evil, they will certainly treat the poor Palestinians, as they are this very moment in Gaza, as animals and beasts to be destroyed.
Well, we are the goy. We are the animals to these leaders. And I want everyone to understand and make no mistake. We are under siege.
Yes.
The world is under siege by a human cancer of the most virulent kind. And I'm asking each and every one of you to redouble your efforts and fight with us. Fight with me at the French Connection and Ted over at truthtellers.org, and go to your churches and tell your pastors that this Schofield mess that's been thrown down on the Christian community is a lie, and that if he doesn't reassess his use of that document, then you might have to find another place to pray. I mean, these are the kinds of actions that need to be taken on behalf of the truth, Ted, or what's going to happen is that they will succeed out of complacency and apathy on our part.
Yes.
And that would be the biggest tragedy of all, that the truth was out there to be had and understood, and that we all passed it by.
Yes.
And, of course, that's something that you and I are working feverishly to stop.
Yes. Well, we, as I said earlier, we must take the opportunities, the positions of advantage which are presented to us. And there is a snowballing movement now to rein in these cable and phone giants, these Jewish people like Seidenberg and the Roberts and so on. Again, I'll just give that toll-free number to Congress. You can come to truthtellers.org for the complete list of the 100 members of the U.S. Senate. This bill has already been passed, favoring the cable companies. In the House of Representatives, it's up to the Senate to decide the future of the Internet. But call 1-888-355-3588. Preferably call all 100 members of the Senate and tell them, please do not allow the Internet to be commercialized. Please insist on net neutrality. They'll know exactly what you're talking about.
And if you'd like to throw in reverse your support for Israel against Palestine, that wouldn't hurt either.
Well, there's a lot of things we could throw in. I'm watching closely Senator Kennedy, and if the hate bill begins to be in danger of emerging or he tries to attach that, I'll let everybody know. And then we'll have to repeat our calls to Congress on that issue.
Well, Ted, again, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on. The subjects that we discuss with you on the French Connection are always enlightening, always helping move the ball forward with this battle we have with these criminals. And I want to thank you for coming on this Friday, my first time back in 10 days. And thanks so much again for being part of our effort here.
Thank you, Daryl.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Reverend Ted Pike from Portland, Oregon. He is truthtellers.org is his organization. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I want to thank you all for coming and listening to this broadcast today. Until the next time, thanks a lot, and be well. Bye-bye now.